We're facing a new government in Italy as a coalition or alliance led by Giorgia Meloni is going to take over the parliament, become prime minister. And the question is, what will that mean for the direction of the Italian government, as this is a decidedly right of center alliance that is taking over? To give us some answers to those questions, welcome now Ruth Ben-Ghiet. She is NYU professor of history and Italian studies. So, Professor, thanks so much for being with us. First of all, tell us about Giorgia Meloni and her party, because there's a lot of talk about fascism and Mussolini, things like that. How close a tie is there there?
It's a very close tie. There, as we know, there's many far-right leaders in power right now in Europe, such as Hungary's Orban. Meloni is different because she comes directly from neo-fascism. And she grew up, her political formation was in the official neo-fascist party, which was founded right after World War II when Mussolini's party, you know, was banned. And she was a hardcore militant, and in fact, the party's logo, so her Brothers of Italy party was founded in 2012, and the logo includes a flame that is not about the, you know, colors of the Italian flag, it's directly the logo of the neo-fascist party. So she has direct-tized Mussolini, has praised Mussolini, as have the elders, other elders of her party. And so this is why there's uncertainty about what she will do as prime minister.
And yet in recent days, she sort of tried to move away from that, at least in her rhetoric. Isn't that right? I think she said that fascism is a matter of history. It's not current day.
Yes, and there's a very concerted messaging campaign to present her as a conservative. Including all the American GOP are presenting her as a conservative. She's very close to Steve Bannon. She's been at the National Prayer Breakfast. She's fluent in English. And so we can expect closer ties with the Republican Party. But that doesn't mean she's conservative. She can say she stands for, you know, country and church and all of these pillars of society, but she, her pronouncements for years classify her as a conspiracy theorist. She's into the Great Replacement Theory, and she thinks that the EU and George Soros, who she calls an international speculator, have a plot, an actual plot, to flood Europe with immigration and ruin white Christian civilization. She's on record many times saying such things. Well, and that's why I personally do not classify her as a conservative.
Well, so as you describe her, it does bring back thoughts of Viktor Orban in Hungary, because he says some of those same things, particularly when it comes to George Soros, for example. There is a close personal tie, is there not, between Ms. Meloni on the one hand and Mr. Orban on the other?
Yeah, and so Italy, you know, Italy will become inserted into this kind of far-right international alliance system and political culture that's been forming for some time, and especially now that Putin has become more toxic, we've seen that Orban has emerged as kind of one of the hubs of this. Now, what's really interesting is, you know, one of the things we have to think is what she's a Eurosceptic. What is this going to mean? Because Italy's much more important and central than Hungary in Euro, you know, Atlantic alliance. But the EU now has, because of the experience with Viktor Orban, who takes EU funds and then, you know, destroys democracy, the EU recently implemented something called a rule of law conditionality clause, where it can reduce or freeze partly funding to an EU member if they don't respect democratic norms. And they are enacting this now with Viktor Orban. So that's got to give pause to Giorgia Meloni, because Italy's economy is not in good shape, very high unemployment, and she can't risk having something like that applied to Italy as well.
Well, exactly. As I understand it, Italy needs some of that cash from the EU as a practical matter. And we saw in her predecessor, Mario Draghi, sort of really towing the line, being very reasonable to make sure that he got the support from the EU. Does that mean that as a practical matter, whatever she might think in her heart of hearts, she's going to have to really play ball, as it were, with Brussels?
Absolutely. And she's, again, you know, rebranding herself not only conservative, but as an Atlanticist. And so here's a gap between, you know, what does she say and what does she do? But the fact that, you know, who she appoints as finance minister, for example, or labor minister. These are going to be very key appointments. Is she going to be pragmatic and appoint, you know, more centrist people, more people connected to the Mario Draghi fiefdom? That is the key in terms of what she's going to be, what impact she'll have on the economy, because a lot of this vote was a protest vote against the Democratic, the center-left, which really was viewed as abandoning workers' rights and labor issues, and so she's got to be very pragmatic.
What's the timeline on this, Professor? When do you think we'll have a better sense of where she's heading, and particularly, for example, the finance minister appointment?
It can take a long time in Italy. It can take weeks. It can take up to a month. So we don't know. Every situation is unique in Italian governments, and some people are also consoling themselves if they're not Meloni fans, saying that it's very easy to make a coalition government fall. So we just have to see.
What's the political driver that led to her ascension? I mean, is it a dissatisfaction of the Italian people?
Part of it, you know, there was really historically low voter turnout, and a lot of Italians were disaffected with, quote, the system, and they took it out also on the center-left, again, which is seen by now as very establishment, very elitist. And so that was a driver. There were people who used to vote for the center-left and now were voting for Meloni in some cases. So that's part of the driver. And also, as is happening throughout Europe, the far right has been better able to kind of create these communities where people feel that they belong, that there's somebody looking out for the forgotten. We had this in America, too, with Trump, where he addressed himself to the forgotten, the people who are hurting. And so this is a common strategy, which is working very well right now, to the deficit of center-left parties.
And as economic problems develop, that might just get more intense. Thank you so much. This has been very helpful. That's Ruth Ben-Ghiat. She's NYU professor of history and Italian studies.